flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
New Orleans Radio Row, already one po' boy in. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Pants still fitting, though, barely. Okay, so we have a lot to unpack with all the basketball stuff, but let's turn to football for a second, Pearl, and we'll get back to the Luka Doncic, Anthony Davis trade in just a little bit, because teams arrived yesterday. You can see them coming off the plane. We actually are staying really close to the Eagles hotel, which I know is exciting for our diehard Eagle fan here, Mr. Perloff. But if I was asking you, who would you rather be going into this game? Would you rather be the Chiefs, who are going for a three-peat, going for immortality, you know, a chance to maybe be known as the greatest dynasty of all time? I mean, all the spoils that go with pulling off something that's never been done in the Super Bowl era. Would you rather be them, or would you rather be the Eagles, who come in maybe with a little less pressure, if that's possible, but you still have to try to stop Patrick Mahomes, and very few people have ever been able to do that?
Well, so wait, define your question. Would you rather be like who has more pressure, or who's got a better chance to make history? Because it's obviously the Chiefs have a better chance to make history. And honestly, you might say the Chiefs have a lot of pressure to three-peat, but this is business as usual to the Chiefs. Like, you don't get the sense that they are affected at all by any of this. Mahomes seems oblivious. Kelsey doesn't
feel... Like in a good way, you mean?
Yeah, like to the pressure.
Right.
Kelsey doesn't seem to feel pressure at all. All their players... I get a sense that there's a been there, done that vibe about them, that the moment does not seem too big for them at all. Where the Eagles are a different team than the team was here 2 years ago, and they haven't gotten their ring yet. In a sense, like, there's pressure to finally break through if you're this Eagles team, where the Chiefs, I think, are very comfortable in their own skin.
Interesting.
I always get that vibe from the Chiefs.
Okay, so I'm going to disagree a little. And let's not forget, your Eagles have that win from 2017, but not a lot of holdovers are left from that one. You're correct about that. Totally different coaching staff, different quarterbacks, everything. But here's the thing. It's like the Eagles have a chance not only to win the Super Bowl, obviously,
yeah,
but they could also be the team that stopped the three-peat. So they come in as the underdog slightly, with way less pressure, I think, than the Chiefs. Even if the Chiefs, you know, on the outside look like they're immune to this pressure, let's just wait. Let's wait, because this is a unique pressure that they've never felt before, which is going for something historic. And I think the Eagles win double-fold here if they... It's like, I don't know how much we'd remember this Eagles team in history, like... They might feel a little like a one-off Super Bowl team, but they get to avenge the loss to the Chiefs, and they get to stop history. I feel like Philadelphia fans, I know this just like sitting next to you, would almost rather stop history of the Chiefs, like stop the Chiefs from making history, than they'll even just be happy for themselves that they won a title. Like, there's this sort of just like taking down the Chiefs would mean more or just as much as winning it themselves. I feel like Philly sometimes, you know, and a lot of fan bases, I think, do this. It's about yourself, but it's really about the other team, too.
I can't
go. It's about beating Tom Brady. It's about beating the other person.
I can't go there with you. There is, if you're looking at rivalries, the heat between the Chiefs and the Eagles is as lowest as humanly possible. I mean, the two teams are sort of, because of Andy Reid, like, there's so much commonality there. The Eagles hate the Cowboys with a passion. If it was the Cowboys, oh my God, beating the Cowboys would be 50 times better than actually winning.
But beating the Chiefs, Cowboys, they're dead already. They're done.
But the Eagles fans don't care about the Chiefs. They have no vested interest. They don't even think about the Chiefs.
Like, they just beat you.
Yeah, but there's no rivalry there. I mean, they got Big Red. They got you know, they have Patrick Mahomes. It's not like it's hard for Eagles fans to chew on hating the Chiefs. Like,
okay.
I've never heard it. Eagles fans are in their own thing. They hate the Cowboys, they hate the Giants, but they don't really hate the Chiefs.
Okay, well, I'll ask you this. Lose to the Chiefs twice in a Super Bowl, and let's say it's another close one. Last time it was only a 3-point loss and maybe a controversial call, or maybe the Chiefs get a call or something. You're telling me Eagles fans aren't going to be bitter about that?
I don't think so. Like, here's a question, right? The Celtics and Lakers played 3 times in the finals. That was it. That was the whole rivalry in the 80s
Yeah.
With the Magic Bird. And that became enough. It's so funny. I do not see, like, the Bills and the Chiefs. That's a great rivalry. The Ravens and the Steelers. The Ravens and the Chiefs. I do not see. We just lost our producer.
EJ, you all right, pal?
Yeah.
Nothing's going right for EJ right now. Okay, let's. You can call in. Who would you rather be in this game? Would you rather be the Chiefs or the Eagles? EJ's on an all-time, whatever the opposite of a hot streak is, you're on an all-time skid. I don't even know what to call is. Bobby's coming to drop us off some coffee. Thank you, sir. EJ, this is just L after L. Like, we're all having a good time in New Orleans, and it's like you found the one pothole and fell in it.
Yeah, I feel like in many ways the whatever voodoo situation is going on, like we walked into Vegas, or excuse me, to New Orleans, it's hit. Like, I'm here.
But
like,
just you, thankfully.
It's only me.
Not us.
Everyone else of the show is fine. I mean, we're getting through the show. Like, there's been some show things adjacent to this, but yeah, it's been a mess. But iPad's still working.
Okay.
So everything's good. And
barely.
We're still live, so we're good. So.
Protect the knee.
Yeah, that's that too.
Can I go back 1 second? Why do you think the Eagles, like, why wouldn't they be a potential dynasty? They win this Super Bowl. All their linemen are young on both sides. Like, what is so funny? Like, and I kind of know what you're saying. Like, this does feel like a one-off to them. Like,
I think it's because
part of a bigger project for the Eagles?
Well, I think it's because I'm sitting next to you and you're so passionate about the Eagles, and you keep telling me how they're running Saquon Barkley into the ground, and that the year after a 2,000-yard rushing year is generally one of the worst years in a guy's career. So I think you're kind of rubbing off on me like osmosis or something.
But they've gotten here with Jalen Hurts, and here's where I'm going to knock you off your chair.
Okay.
They might have one of the better coaches in the NFL.
Oh, get out of here. No way.
They have the winningest. I mean, if he wins the Super Bowl, he is the second best record of any active coach. Like, you might have to look at and it's really in part because he works with Howie Roseman, the Howie Roseman, Nick Sirianni thing. That might be a thing. Like, that might be the beginning of something. If they come out of this, like, maybe we're looking at more of a special Eagles team than you know.
No. Okay,
if they win this game and knock off the big bad Chiefs, as you said, I think it's going to be a totally different ball game.
They still won't. Here's the question we're asking. Who would you rather be heading into this game? Would you rather be the Chiefs with, yes, a lot of pressure, but going for history? Or would you rather be the Eagles, less pressure in theory, and you have a chance to take down the Chiefs? So do you want to be the winner, or do you want to be the guy who takes down the dynasty? 855-212-4227. The reason why that's not going to happen is Nick Sirianni will likely be the last person to get credit if you do win the Super Bowl, and here's why. It's, you're right, Howie Roseman, great GM, put together all stars at all these positions, Pro Bowlers, I should say. You never know how they fit all these guys under the salary cap. He's some kind of wizard. We have, you know, the Saints are in salary cap hell, yet the Eagles have 50 times the talent. We can't figure any of this out. They paid their quarterback too, so it's not like they have a guy at a cheap deal. I think you could go 10 deep before Sirianni gets credit, because his coordinators, I think, got more credit for the last time they were in the Super Bowl, and the coordinators will get credit again. It will be Vic Fangio solved Mahomes.
Yeah, maybe.
Be Kellen Moore now goes off to wherever, the Saints, and he leaves on a high note. Sirianni is just there keeping the seat warm.
You're talking about perception, though.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, if he wins a Super Bowl, he's going to have this gaudy, like, he might be the key to the whole thing. Like, who cares about
What's
perception?
Your evidence for that?
Well, he's won over 70% of his regular season games, made the playoffs every year as a coach, and he will have just beaten the best team of the modern era. So he's like Sean McVay, but better. Like, if he wins a Super Bowl, he is on track. I think he's 42 years old or something. He's so young. He's on track for a crazy career, especially with the way him and Howie work together. Like, it's possible. He's 43. It's possible this is the beginning of a dynasty. Now, I don't really think so either. But I would discount that. So there's that. My point is, there is pressure on the Eagles. It's not like the Eagles are just like, well, we're happy to be here. Like, they do have a big year. That's not
who's losing their job, though. See, like, he's not losing his job
if they
lose.
The losing team of the Super Bowl never loses their job.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. It's like, so what's the pressure, right? Is it A.J. Brown? He might want to leave anyway. I mean, the guy's reading a book on the sidelines. Like, he might not be as engaged. You're not sure if he wants to go. But beyond that, like, what's the pressure? They're all basically coming back.
All the cameras, all the people, $150 million. That's the pressure. It's not it's not pressure like the Super Bowl. It's not like you think, oh, if I lose this game, I'm not going to be re-signed. The pressure is the game, not because of like your future. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you're saying like there are Super Bowls where if the quarterback doesn't win, he's going to get cut? That's not a thing.
No, it's not about getting cut, but it's about, oh, there could be major changes to this team. If we don't win this now, we might not get another crack at it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's not what this feels like at all. To your point, you said that everyone's right. Young. They could be coming back. Lane Johnson said he's not retiring. You have all the pieces. I don't see them having this crazy kind of pressure. You said it yourself. It's not really a rivalry, even, you don't think, between the Chiefs and the Eagles.
But there could be 3 minutes left in the game. They could be up by a touchdown. That is pressure. But I feel like they will feel that.
They should. Okay, 855-212-4227. You can let us know what you think about this. Who's feeling more pressure? Is it the Chiefs going for history of the three-peat? Is it the Eagles? Or who would you rather be? Not who's facing more pressure. Who would you rather be in this game? Would you rather be the Chiefs going for history, or would you rather be the Eagles who get a chance to maybe stop history? The big news, the big trade. De'Aaron Fox going to San Antonio. No, Luka Doncic. We will get into that. But Luka Doncic going to the Lakers for Anthony Davis. Let's hit Jeff. He's on the phone. He's calling from Tucson. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Molly. What's going on, Perloff?
Close.
So here we got. We got most of the pressure's on Perloff because he's going to lose his mind. But there's at the end of the game that results in the winning score.
Oh, don't even say. Jeff, don't put that in the universe.
Well, I got to put that up in the air, man. Yeah. So the second thing is that Kansas City, I'd rather be Kansas City in this, and they don't feel any pressure to win three straight. It's just that, you know, they're just going for history. But like you said, there's no Philly rivalry here. And secondly, let's go with the Doncic trade. Like the news reporter says, they kept it a secret. They only decided to let L.A. know that we wanted to make a package. And they'd have got more. They'd have expanded themselves. So I think Dallas was a loser in this trade, really, big time.
Jeff, thank you for the call. 100%. They didn't think to make one other phone call. I mean, you don't want to take the temperature. You know, we were talking during the break, and EJ had mentioned it, about why not call the Milwaukee Bucks and check in on Giannis.
We're 1,000% sure that no moves, no discussions were had, because
Nico Harrison said. They said he had got coffee with Rob Pelinka, the Lakers GM, a couple weeks ago, and that started morphing into conversations, and then he credited Pelinka for not leaking the news.
I wonder, now, let's be realistic. Do you think the Bucks would have done that?
So here's the thing with the Bucks. Yeah. I think that they would consult Giannis. And Giannis, you know, every couple years or every offseason, kind of, Giannis likes to send some coded messages through the media. You know, listen, I don't know what my future holds. I just want to be on a winner. I want to be a team committed to winning. He's sending these cues to Milwaukee. Hey, you better get me this guy, that guy. They got him Dame Lillard. So we'll see what happens. But no, I think Giannis is always looking around.
Yeah, I just can't buy that the Mavs got Anthony Davis and they could have had Giannis, in the sense that, like, there's a lot. That's a big assumption. Or they could have had Jason Tatum. Like, I've seen that. Like, I'm not sure exactly what was up for grabs here. Like, you can't just say, oh, they could have had Giannis. I mean, that's too much of a stretch.
Okay, but you're asking, like, you don't know. I don't think anyone thought
that
Luka was available, right?
No.
So let's hear, Manny, can I hear cut four, please? Here's Nico Harrison again. Maybe a guy who's a little more anonymous 48 hours ago, but now he's right in the front of the camera on the discussion he had with Lakers GM Rob Pelinka.
And I'd like to give Rob Pelinka a lot of credit. You know, trades, you guys have been around here. Trades don't happen at the smallest level without stuff getting out. And Rob and I were able to have, you know, really intense conversations over the course of, you know, 3 or 4 weeks that started out as a coffee that, you know, was more, hey, would you ever, I don't know, would I, let me think of, you know, and then it built upon that.
Yeah, I mean, this would be so easy to disprove. Like, Nico Harrison looked like such a liar if in 2 days the GM of the Bucks is like, no, we also talked. Like, he wouldn't say this unless it's true. He really didn't call anyone else.
Is there any other way to... Well, also, I just don't think the Giannis deal was happening. Do you think that...
It's whether it was Giannis, whether it's Brunson, whether it's Tatum, we're swimming in really deep water here is what I'm saying. And yeah. So the fact that you... If you think you can get somebody and they're so enamored with Anthony Davis,
right.
You know you have like this incredible trade bait. Like, you just wouldn't want to see what else is out there.
You would. And also you'd want more draft picks. But I'm not sure that there's, for the Mavs, except for the A's, like there's only a few players like Anthony Davis. So it's not like, you know, Jalen Brunson, for example, like that's not going to win a title.
Okay, but I'm asking you. Do we think that Anthony Davis, who, to his credit, when he's healthy, he's awesome. He's a complete difference maker.
Right.
Do we think Anthony Davis is closer to his prime or closer to past his prime?
Definitely closer to past his prime, although his prime was gutted by injuries, so it's hard to tell.
Okay, so what do we think past his prime is going to look like?
Well, I mean, he's 31, so give him 4 more years of productive basketball. 60 games a year. 25 points a game, 10 boards, whatever blocks.
All right. Are you sure you're getting 60? Because I'm watching last year, he played 76 games, and that was fantastic. That's a high watermark. 56, 40, 36, 62, 56. Yeah. Like, it was a stretch there where you'd be lucky if you were getting 60. That wasn't happening.
Right.
You're getting 40.
Maybe he's turned a corner.
But maybe Luka's turned a corner. Like, that's the it's such you're,
well, Luka,
you're putting a bet on someone who's 31 years old who's 7'2".
Yeah, no, I don't love it, but I don't think I just reject this idea that Luka. They could have just said, "Hey, Luka's up for sale. Give me your superstar." I mean, how many superstars are really realistically? Maybe 2 or 3. I can't even come up with names.
Right.
I don't think for some reason I just don't think Giannis was going to happen. I don't think the Bucks were going to do it. Believe it or not. Well, I mean, they probably hold on this fantasy that we're keeping Giannis. And also, I'm not sure.
But Giannis may have said, I want to go. I mean.
And Luka is not going to want to stay in Milwaukee. That was the other thing, too, because they got to re-sign Luka.
Yeah, but I don't think Luka had a no-trade clause. So,
right, but Luka's up for negotiation when next year?
Yeah, so Luka could have had a shot at the Supermax after this season, but now that's off the table. So now he has this year, next year, and then a player option. So he's got to play one more full season before he can get the Supermax, which is $345 million. But it's a bummer for Luka. If you thought that money was coming this offseason, then now it waits a year, and who knows what could happen.
Yeah.
You could have, you know, a terrible injury or something devastating. You never know.
The issue is the age. I mean, that's the bottom line. If Anthony Davis was 25 and Luka was 25, everybody would be like, okay, Luka's a better player, but at least I get it. It's the age. I understand. You're exactly right. That's why this deal is bananas in most people's minds.
Well, it's not just the age to me. It's the insinuation that they didn't trust Luka to be in shape, healthy, committed, when Anthony Davis is someone whose nickname is Street Clothes. Like, that's where I can't get the, it's like...
But he's in shape.
He's in shape, that's fine, but he's hurt.
But you just read a bunch of number of games that was trending upward. Maybe he's turning the corner.
Okay.
I'm knocking on
he's
this.
He's literally hurt right now. 855-212-4227. Man, you want to go to Connor? Is Connor still there? Connor's in Ohio. What's up, Connor?
Can you guys hear me all right?
We can, sir. Well, go ahead.
Perfect. How you guys doing this morning?
We're doing great. We're in New Orleans. We're living.
I know. It sounds awesome. And I'm in Ohio where my Buckeyes got the natty, so that's awesome.
Can you believe that was only 2 weeks ago?
I know, right?
It feels like a month ago.
Time flies. Feels like a month ago.
Totally.
I know, right? So my thoughts on the big trade. I think the best chance for the title will probably have to go to the Lakers. Honestly, this is a pretty lopsided trade.
Yeah.
I sure as heck don't buy that LeBron knew nothing about it. He definitely knew something about it. He obviously pretty much runs the Lakers as is. So there's no way he doesn't know about it. That's not even, no way. And then as far as like the trade itself goes, very lopsided. At this point in the long run, if you look at the overall picture, Luka Doncic is a better player. He's younger. He has supposedly a few seasons to go, quite a few. But AD, I feel like, is a much older, more vulnerable player, especially since of his height. So I feel like he has obviously a tendency to be injured. So I feel like overall, Luka Doncic is a more valuable player, and the Lakers will benefit off of him more in the long run.
Connor, thanks for the call. Appreciate you checking in. Right now we have a poll up at Maggie and Perloff. Who is more likely to win a title first? And the Lakers are, it's a landslide, 75% to 25%. And what's a bummer about that poll for the Mavs is that the Mavs said this was a win-now move. Well, and yet nobody believes that it actually will work.
That result is 75-25. But if you put up the poll, who got the better end of the trade, it would probably be 95% Lakers. So I do think even pro-Lakers people are saying, well, I understand the Mavs have this slight window with a Kyrie Anthony Davis. Like, I think in the short term, you could squint and see this helping the Mavs. The question is the long term. Over 10 years, what the heck's going on? Like, the big picture, the Lakers are a massive winner. Will you agree with me that they're bigger winners big picture than they are short term? Because I don't think anyone knows if Luka LeBron is good enough to get to the finals.
No, but that was the whole thing about the Lakers are getting a star now to be the franchise focal piece for long beyond. Like, they've got the succession plan now.
Right.
The Mavs didn't want that. Well, they didn't want the star. They don't want the guy.
I don't think they want to build around Kyrie just like most Sixers fans now
Luka?
Don't. I mean, right. They didn't want to build around Luka just like Sixers fans don't want to build around Embiid anymore. How Rockets fans didn't want to build around Harden anymore.
I don't think that's how Mavs fans are feeling, though.
No, but the Mavs ownership is like, ooh, they're not feeling that way. In 3 years, they're going to get there. Because Luka's 26. At 26, the Rockets were positive James Harden was going to lead them to a title. They had every reason to think that.
Sure.
But then they said, oh, okay, this guy's not getting in shape, and he's too ball dominant. I just think that the Mavs saw that coming, and they said it. Like, you can't win with one guy who doesn't play defense. He also doesn't play team basketball.
I mean, for the Mavs not to look completely silly here, Luka's got to just really be a zero.
Well,
not even make it to the finals, because they are going to look so silly.
Well, how are the Lakers going to make it to the finals?
I don't know. I guess that's what the Mavs are betting on. They're betting on the fact that Luka's going to go there and he's not going to be able to do anything. They have to hope and pray that happens, or else they are going to look like they are executed one of the worst trades of all time.
I think the Mavs from that
And by side, the way, the process will still, we can always nitpick the process.
But here's the thing. If they don't get one with LeBron right now, that's like the Lakers. What happens after LeBron leaves? Like this, then Luka's on a worse team than he was in Dallas. So maybe they're like, well, he couldn't quite get us over the final hump in Dallas. He's going to have a worse team in L.A., right? Like, they're not as scared of him. Like, why would they even be as good as the Mavs?
What's the Mavs' plan? Like,
well, I mean, at least they had Kyrie and all these guys.
Kyrie's 33.
But I'm just saying, like, Luka in L.A. is like, who does he have after LeBron?
They're going to have
Jared Vanderbilt?
No, they're going to have to build a team around him.
Yeah, but which is because it's not going to be easy.
I get that, but what are the Mavs left with?
The Mavs probably have 3 or 4 years of this Kyrie AD combo.
They're going to end up giving probably close to a max contract to Kyrie. So think about that.
That's happening.
And you're asking, like, what's your best use of money? Give it to someone who's 33 years old or someone who's 26 years old?
Well, Kyrie's 32 now. And, yeah, I mean, this is the NBA. They're paying guys into their late 30s. I'm just saying, you'll get 3 or 4 years of this. I don't say it's going to work, but at least it's a thing. Where I don't know, like, honestly, if LeBron retired next year, are the Lakers a playoff team? Probably not.
I don't know. 855-212-4227. Okay, keep them coming. Your reaction to this massive trade. We're also live from Radio Row in New Orleans. We've got plenty of awesome guests happening this week. We're doing some fun stuff this week. We have a lot for you, and our trip is already off to a really eventful start, so we'll get you in on some of the details. We'll do that next. Maggie and Perloff.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. So much going on. I watched the Grammys last night. I have about a 45-minute review that I will give you in the breaks. And not
Wait a minute. Yeah, don't subject the audience to that. What's your hottest, your biggest opinion?
Oh, well, I mean, listen. Beyonce sweeping the Grammys with her country album. I saw it coming. Like halfway through, when she won the first award, I'm like, oh, they're just giving everything to her. I kind of saw Andrew Bogus's favorite, Chapel Roan. With all the great new artists, like there's some big new artists. I had Sabrina Carpenter in that category and Shaboozy, like big, big stars. But it was Chapel Roan and Beyonce's night, as it should be. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, I don't really have a story. Do you have an opinion on the Grammys?
I didn't watch it. No, but I'm not surprised that Beyonce won a lot and Chapel Roan kind of feels like they're kind of the two big people from this year.
I also saw the
Taylor, I don't know.
The Rolling Stones won Album of the Year. Like, what?
What?
No, and the Beatles. The Beatles.
The Beatles, but the Stones won something too. Check it out, Bogus. The Stones won. I said they had a new album.
Wait, like, a minute. Hold on. The Beatles won Album of the Year when two of their members have been deceased for
There's an
decades?
AI Beatles production that won something last night.
Yeah.
That was
That's not cool.
It wasn't Album of the Year, though. That was Beyonce.
It might be rock album or something, like a subcategory, but fake Beatles won, which kind of freaked me out.
Wait a minute. This isn't just like the lost tapes or like they unearthed something. This is just a straight up artificial intelligence created a Beatles album and it won an award?
I want to say that it at least began with like archival recordings, but yes, they're like it was AI finished.
Look at the best rock album. It's the Rolling Stones for an album called Hackney Diamonds, which is
something that if you go to a Rolling Stone show, you hope they play zero tracks off of.
Well, it's a live album. It's not even original music, and they won Rock Album of the Year. Yeah, I was actually watching the Grammys. I'm like, this is a certain kind of. This felt like a record commercial. Like, felt like it was run by Big Record.
You just learned this? What do you think? This was the Indie Awards?
Yeah. I'm like, oh my God.
The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and Beyonce won. These are not all up and comers here.
Who runs the Oscars, by the way? Big movie? Big Hollywood?
But you know who was nominated? That band that your husband follows around.
Yeah. The
Crew Baggin or whatever?
My husband follows around.
What are they?
He's
called?
In a van right now, somewhere near
your husband's
Des Moines.
His version of the Dave Matthews Band. What are they called? Krubahugan or something?
Chumbawamba.
Yeah,
it's Chumbawamba, guys. He's in Australia right now. It's called Krugenbin, I think.
Trevor Noah couldn't say it either.
I can't say it. No one knows it. I wish their name was just like Violet Flowers or something that would be a lot easier, but they name themselves Krugenbin. They're from Houston. They were really good.
They played live. They were great.
They're excellent, but now it's like they're over. You know, we were supposed to go to their show. I don't think my husband and I have attended a concert together since 2002. And we were supposed to go to their show, and our kid got sick, so you can't go.
Oh, man. Go. I got kind of screwed over in the concert front. You know how the one concert I go to now is the Governor's Ball in New York, which is...
So,
Olivia, my favorite act, Olivia Rodrigo, is playing Saturday night, and my wife took those tickets, so I can't get to see her. Where was she last night, Bogus? You know these things.
She was there last night. She presented Chapel Roan's performance.
Oh, that was... Okay, actually, I didn't even recognize her.
Okay, guys, we're beating around the bush here on this whole thing. Let's just call this what it is. Whatever Kanye West's wife was wearing on the red carpet, Kanye showed up uninvited to the Grammys with his wife, Bianca something. Apologies, I don't know her name. And she took off her coat. And Bogus, you're the newsman around here. How would you describe
you
that?
You are breaking
outfit?
This news to me. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, no, Bogey.
I have a hand to the scout's honor, whatever the signal is. I don't know what you're talking about. I can give you Will Smith's kid with a house on his head, but I don't know about Kanye West's wife.
Can I ask a question? Was that the boob outfit? Because I saw that on Twitter and scrolled immediately away. I'm like, I can't have this in my algorithm. Is that the one you're talking about?
If it was just the boobs, I think that'd be one thing.
She
it was
like
the
naked,
whole thing.
But it was like kind of all boobs.
It was the front. It was the back. It was the side. It was the top, down, left, right.
Well, I just saw
she's just naked.
It came across my social media feed, and I immediately scrolled away. I'm like, whatever that is, it can't be. That
like
was from
likely story.
That was from the red carpet.
We're not gonna call you out, Pearl. You can do whatever you want.
No,
passed the phone around at dinner last night with a lot of our friends here from Westwood One. Who are fantastic and are the reason we're on the air today. We love them. And EJ and I and Zach Gelb. And we passed the phone around. I think I watched it 10 times.
Deeper.
Was there even a dress there?
I
wasn't sure if it was
just
skin.
It was just all see-through.
Yeah.
It was some kind of mesh. It was like see-through cloth.
Oh, and again, yeah, I see it now. It is fabric.
They got escorted out.
Don't do that on the work computer, Bogus.
That's okay. Too late.
Oh, no. Oh,
gosh.
Bogus is side texting us now. There's an artist named Dochi.
She's awesome.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. She stole the night. I was like, I don't know who you are, but you are incredible.
Same thing. New to me because I am so not cool. But that performance was unbelievable. They were all dressed the same. The dance and the choreography, that thing blew my mind.
She blew away everybody that night, except apparently for Kanye's wife.
I was going to say, there's going to be, this Grammys is going to be remembered for one thing and one thing. Well, technically two things. But it is going to be remembered for that. Certainly not. Anything.
Well, it's not like inside the building they were leaving a lot to imagination, by the way. Every woman was half naked.
I know. I blame the patriarchy.
100 years old.
Bogus, you have headlines for us. What's up?
Guys, not everyone was lucky enough to wake up yesterday to EJ and Manny sexting the group about the Luka trade. We processed the shock as a group. But how did the Mavs handle it? Here's Jason Kidd.
We met this morning as a group. And so we talked about it. We asked, we opened the floor for if anybody had any questions. No one really had any questions.
Oh, good. No questions.
No questions. Let's move on. Get our ass beat tonight.
Yeah, because air quotes, they played against Cleveland shortly thereafter.
Here's Garland, left in the lane. DG out front, Mitchell, three ball. Good! Well, we're at 91. A 91-point first half.
Tim Alcorn on Cavs Radio. Cleveland led Dallas 91-46 at halftime. They won 144-101. The Mavs did have just 10 available players with five regulars out injured, including Kyrie and Anthony Davis, not ready yet to join them. The Grizzlies beat the Bucks for the seventh straight time, 132-119 in Milwaukee, and the Celtics were 118-110 winners in Philly after trailing by 26 late third quarter. Jason Tatum scored 13 of his 35 in the fourth. And now another huge deal, De'Aaron Fox on his way to join Wemby in San Antonio. I can drive with him to that. The Kings get Zach LaVine from the Bulls, plus three first-round picks and 3 seconds, and Chicago ends up with three players and a 2025 number one.
When Busjama?
This is back on, by the way. Now that Greg Popovich is healthy and thankfully healthy, we can resume planning for the road trip.
I'm psyched. I get to see De'Aaron Fox. I know. Too. This is awesome.
The team just got a whole lot better. And, man, is De'Aaron Fox a big winner? If he gets to team up with Wemby now for the future, that's pretty amazing.
But he's got a contract coming up. We'll see. I think this is a bit of a tryout for him.
Yeah, maybe.
I think you're right. I think everybody's going to want to play with Wemby.
Well, no doubt.
In a stunning move, Iowa basketball retired Caitlin Clark's number 22 yesterday.
First of all, my teammates, I wouldn't be here without any of you. And a lot of you came back and, you know, you have busy schedules. And I think that just speaks to the culture of this place. You know, so selfless. Like, I know my number's up there, but it wouldn't be if it wasn't for all of you. So to the ones that were my teammates when I was here, I really appreciate you guys, and I love you.
The ceremony came after the unranked Hawkeyes took down fourth-ranked USC 76-69. The Trojans had won 15 in a row. Notre Dame and Louisville Mulella just played a game. No ceremonies. The third-ranked Irish with their 14th straight win, 88-71. Hannah Hidalgo, a season-high 34 points, plus 6 rebounds and 5 assists. The last time we saw Chip Kelly in the NFL, he was the Niners head coach in 2016, and they were going 2-14. Now Chip is returning to the league, reportedly to run the Raiders offense for Pete Carroll. NASCAR held its annual exhibition race yesterday at Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, first time they've run a race there since 1971. Chase Elliott won the Clash. The Daytona 500 is on the 16th. And Rory McIlroy won the Pebble Beach Pro-Am, while A. Lim Kim took the LPGA opener in Orlando by 2 shots over Nelly Korda. Guys, back to you.
Bogus, thanks so much. Big winner for me on Prize Picks. Rory McIlroy doing well in Pebble Beach. I started riding that on Thursday and all the way through the tournament. Awesome.
One thing I forgot to mention that gives the Mavs an advantage. I did forget about the two coaches. I have so much more faith in Jason Kidd than J.J. Redick. Well, forgot about that. J.J. Redick's your coach, and that is a huge unknown.
Well, J.J. Redick's only been there for half a season. I mean, Jason Kidd was an assistant on the Lakers championship team.
I've heard the podcast. I know enough.
You didn't listen to that podcast.
I heard the old one, the old man of the three, with Tommy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just think that Jason Kidd, I could see him not jiving with Luka's style overall, because Jason Kidd was all about defense and tenacity and moving the
ball.
But
they got to the finals together, by the way. And that press conference yesterday with Nico Harris and the GM, and Jason Kidd is sitting there. Jason Kidd, he said they didn't even ask him about it. Like, that I believe. Nico Harrison said he didn't even inform Jason Kidd that they were trading their best player because, and the quote was, "We see basketball the same way." I'm like,
I could see Jason Kidd not loving Luka. That definitely crossed my mind.
Okay, but here's the thing. It's, you don't have to love everyone you coach, but do you feel like you can win with them? And maybe you're right. Maybe Jason Kidd doesn't think so. But if I'm Jason Kidd, I'm probably getting fired in 2 years if all of a sudden I don't win a championship. If Luka had signed the Supermax, I don't think I am getting fired in 2 years.
But apparently him and Luka are not tied at the hip because they just let Luka go. That doesn't mean tied at the hip to me.
I'd be worried if I was every one of the Mavs, because you have a new owner that you don't know much about, right? This is Dumont, is the Adelson son-in-law, these people who own casinos. They just like were responsible for one of the most shocking blockbuster trades of all time, and they're getting clowned for it. I mean, the wave of criticism that they are getting from people who inside the sport, outside the sport, that has got to be something, a wake-up call that I don't know if maybe they were expecting. I don't know how super rich people deal with that kind of criticism. I don't think they get it in their regular life. So just wait and see how everyone's on the hot seat very soon, would be my opinion.
Well, Nico will call him and say, this is better than losing Luka for nothing.
Yeah, but Luka never gave you an indication he was going to leave. So that you kind of invented a problem exist.
That's a stretch to say that you know that.
No one's turned down the Supermax. And they're the team that can give him that Supermax. So I don't know. 855-212-4227. Got a poll question out there. Who do you think will win a title first, the Lakers and the Mavs? You can go vote on that poll or give us a call, 855-212-4227. We got so much left to do. It's Maggie and Perloff. We're live from New Orleans on Radio Row. Come on back. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff, live from New Orleans, Radio Row, making friends around here, which is always a good thing. Officer Michael here hanging out with us, keeping us safe. So we got two questions right now. Number one, who do you think will win a title first, Luka Doncic and the Lakers or now Anthony Davis and the Mavericks? You can go to @Maggie and Pearl and vote there. Also another question, which is who would you rather be in this Super Bowl? Would you rather be the Chiefs with, let's be honest, lots of pressure, making history, possibly with a three-peat, or would you rather be the Eagles? A little more house money, maybe get a chance to take down the Chiefs, and certainly public sentiment is not really with the Chiefs right now. I think everyone's just getting a little bit sick of them. And you can call us at 855-212-4227. But Perloff, I know a story that we unfortunately never got to last week, but it was a big one. It was about Cam Newton, who I'm assuming is going to be here on Radio Row any minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure where he's doing his podcast. He has a podcast, right? And now I think he's on ESPN. So he's a big media figure. He came out and said, and EJ was on top of the story, that he'd rather be an MVP than a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, let's hear it. We've got Cam. This is his podcast talking about what he'd rather have.
I ask you, Cam, if you could give back that league MVP for a Super Bowl championship, would you do it?
Nope.
Oh.
Really?
Sorry, that was first take. That's Stephen A. And Molly. And Molly's shocked there. Maybe it,
really?
I think it was Molly. But here's the thing. There's a little more context to this because it sounds like pretty selfish, you know, on its base, right?
Right.
Like Cam saying that he'd rather have the MVP than a Super Bowl. Just it sounds like egotistical and selfish. But his greater point was there's a lot of guys who win Super Bowls who don't leave their mark on the league. Like, yes, they're on great teams and they become champions. But he felt like being the best in the league and leaving his mark on the NFL in the way that he did, which, let's be honest, like Cam does leave a legacy of being that running quarterback, tough. I mean, there's no Josh Allen if there's not a Cam Newton. So he thinks that's like better, or he likes that for his legacy. What do you think?
I mean, it's utterly ridiculous. First of all, forget like the team aspect, like you want to win for your team. Like legacy wise, for a quarterback, Super Bowl is everything. We're about to see Eli Manning get into the Hall of Fame on Saturday because he won 2 Super Bowl rings. There's no other reason. There's nothing else in Eli's career that says Hall of Fame quarterback. So Yeah, I think this is the dumbest take in the sense that, like, he would be so much more highly regarded with a Super Bowl championship, legacy-wise.
Mm. See, he doesn't think so. I'm not sure. You're right about the quarterbacks and how they get judged, but I think Cam saying, well, I was the best in the league and no one can ever take that away. It's a lot more exclusive to be an MVP of the league than it is to be a Super Bowl champion.
Yeah, but I mean, MVP is somewhat, in the NFL, it's not even that big a deal. We started covering this recently. Like, back in the day, they'd just give it to Peyton or Tom and nobody really paid attention to it. And now, like, Lamar's about to win third.
Yeah.
He would trade those in a heartbeat to win a championship. Because that's the thing, like, Cam is comparing to, like, Brad Johnson winning the Bucs. Everyone knows Cam Newton would be the reason the Panthers won the Super Bowl. That would be an incredible thing, even if he had lost out the MVP that year. His historical ranking would be much higher if he had won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to have to agree with you. Yeah. I it's not about, like, that I can't understand why he would say this. My thing about it is, here's the thing about the MVP versus the Super Bowl. The trick of it is you actually don't win an MVP unless your teammates are also having great years, right? Because we don't give MVPs, like Joe Burrow didn't get the MVP this year, even though he may have deserved it, because the defense was terrible, because T. Higgins was hurt a lot, and all of that stuff. The thing is, like, so your teammates and your team have to be good for you to also get the MVP. So that the MVP is something that you rely on teammates, but you don't really share it with them. Not in the way that you share a Super Bowl. And that's what keeps holding me up with this Cam thing. It's the ultimate team sport. In the Super Bowl, you all get to share in the success. And let's be fair, the quarterback, especially one like Cam, to your point, who's the focal point of the offense, will share in it way more. Like, he'll be remembered as the quarterback from that Super Bowl. The MVP, while yes, your teammates helped you get there, they don't share in it in the same way, in my opinion.
I agree with all that. But even so, like, legacy-wise, MVP, like, we don't care about MVP. Look at NBA. Like, there have been some really bad, not bad, that's too strong a word. Yeah. There have been some bad decisions from MVP voters. They look at the wrong set of numbers, and they gave Russell Westbrook and James Harden MVPs in the era of LeBron, which is crazy. I mean, people are going to look back in 20 years and say, wait, Russell Westbrook got that over, I assume, LeBron and Curry? It didn't make any sense. I just think the MVPs sometimes do not tell the real story. Like, for example, Lamar Jackson is not the MVP of this year. He's going to win it, but he's not the most valuable player. And you know how I know that? He's home right now. He was not, you know, you have to be in football to be the MVP. I think you have to go all the way. And Cam at least got to the Super Bowl that year. To win that Super Bowl would have been huge. It would have been a one-man. You said this. Teammates played great. Who were Cam's teammates? I don't even remember. I know Luke Kuechly, but generally, like, he carried that team on his back. His teammates didn't do anything. That was Cam, and more Cam.
Yeah, 855-212-4227. EJ, you see it differently. Well, one thing I'll push back on is the players obviously see MVP differently than the outside world does, because they're judging themselves amongst their peers. And let's keep it in mind, it is a regular season award. I know you hate that, but it is a regular season award. EJ, you didn't have a problem with this.
No, I didn't, because I felt like it was honest. Like, I think at the end of the day, when you're thinking about what you want to be as a player, I think you want to be the best. I think that all these quarterbacks, yeah, they want to win Super Bowls, yeah, they want to win championships, but I think they also are individually motivated, individually competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for Cam Newton, while Pearl, I know you mentioned that he may have played great and been the reason why the Panthers won a Super Bowl. What if he was Peyton Manning with the Broncos at the end of his career? What if he's a guy who at the end of his career is way past his prime, wins the Super Bowl, but, like, no one remembers he even was really the quarterback because it was basically a defensive-led team? Like, I think that's what Cam was talking
about. That's not Cam's reality, though. To Perloff's point, Cam's reality was he was the star of that team, just like he was the star of his college team that won a title.
But I don't think he's thinking about that season. I think that's the difference. I think he's looking back at his entire career. Mm. That was the question, was if you could look back on your career, would you trade a Super Bowl for an MVP? And I think without the context of what that Super Bowl looks like for him, I think he says, if I can go around telling people that I was the best player in the NFL for a season, there are very few guys can do it. There are thousands of people that have won Super Bowls. There's only dozens that have been the most valuable player. And I think for these athletes, that's a personal badge of honor that they get, and I get it.
Yeah. Well, one thing, I mean, definitely it's going to cost them the Hall of Fame, I think. And same with Matt Ryan. If Cam had won that Super Bowl, if his line had stayed healthy, then he probably would be a Hall of Famer. So I don't know if he realized that. And ask Matt Ryan the same question. He won the MVP that year and blew a 28-3 halftime lead. I think that costs him the Hall of Fame. Like, Super Bowls are everything for quarterbacks, and Cam knows that. I think he's just being contrarian.
855-212-4227. It's Maggie and Perloff. We're here, Radio Row in New Orleans. We've got so much more to do, including back to the blockbuster trade. Luka Doncic goes to the Lakers. It's Monday, so we have M&P 500 to get to, and also some draft news, NFL draft news, quarterbacks who are impressing and also falling apart at the Senior Bowl. So we have a lot to get to. Hang with us. It's M&P from NOLA.